open. Let me ask you, what's the best promise someone's ever made you? What is the best promise someone's ever made you? We've got a second slide there. A few years ago, we were promised a trip to Disneyland Paris. Amazing. But we had to be patient and wait. And it was a long time, over a year or so. But the next slide, we made it eventually in the end. In the book of Genesis so far, God has made some amazing promises to Abraham. I will give you a land to live in. I will give you a family as numerous as the stars in the sky. You will be a blessing to the whole world. But Abraham is struggling with this. How will God keep his promises when Sarah, Abraham's wife, is old and has no children? And it's been such a long time waiting already. In chapter 15, God confirms his promises are good. He makes a covenant with Abraham, which is like a promise with responsibility. Trust me, Abraham, God says, I'm good for it. Like a pinky promise, God swears it's true by the honour of his own name. Our next slide, we've prayed. Let's just have those Bibles open. We're going to look at these verses now. And I have found earlier a box. And it's got no name on it. And I'm just really, really interested to know what's inside this box. I wonder, how do you think we could guess what's inside this box without opening it? How could we guess what's inside, Trish? Shake it. We could shake it around. Yeah. Martha? Look at the size of the box. John, that's a good one, Martha. Well done. Spatial awareness. Well done.
How heavy is it?
See how heavy it is?
See if there's ever any lovely smells coming
from. Look at this. I tell you, you guys are much more on the ball than the 9:15 this morning. Maybe it's a bit early. We could smell it and see if there's any smells. I mean, I did notice this sign that says this way up on it, but I'm not totally sure that that sign is correct. I'm not really sure that it matters. And I'm really, really keen to know what's inside it. I think we should shake it. Do you know, I think if I turn it upside down, I'll also get a sense of how it moves about in the box at all. So what I'm going to do, let me try that now, and we'll just see what happens. Oh! Oh, dear. It certainly scared the musicians over there, too. Look at that. That's not good news, especially if you're sat in Nick, not picking on you this morning. Good job he's got his flip-flops on, so his socks aren't wet. In Genesis 16, we're going to see what happened when Abraham and Sarah stopped believing God's promises and decided to do what they thought was best. Our next slide, we've got it there. Scene 1, in Abraham's tent. The problem's there in verse 1. Abraham and Sarah have no children, and it's a real concern for Sarah. We see in verse 2, Sarah blames God for this. As she comes up with her own plan for what she thinks is best to make God's promise happen her way. But it's going to cause lots of damage. Earlier in Genesis, when Adam and Eve get married, the Bible tells us, Genesis 2:24, that one man and one woman become one body. That's what the Bible says marriage is. Genesis 2:24, one man and one woman become one body. Sarah's plan goes against God's plan, because in Genesis 16, verse 2, Sarah says to Abraham to get married to someone else and have a baby with her instead. That is not a good plan. Sarah doesn't think God can give her a baby, so she plans for Abraham to have a baby with someone else. It's been 10 years, verse 3, which is a long time to wait. But God has made a specific promise to Abraham and Sarah. So Sarah's plan is a bad plan because it's going against God's plans and it's not trusting God's promise to them. Sarah was wrong to offer Abraham a second wife. Abraham was wrong to accept the offer. Hagar was wrong to go along with it. Sarah's plan is never going to be the right answer. And it gets really messy. It causes damage to relationships, verses 4 to 6. Once Hagar knows she's going to have a baby with Abraham, she disrespects Sarah. And Sarah and Abraham fall out too. Going against God's plan always causes problems and does damage. We saw that too in chapter 12 when Abraham went down to Egypt. And sadly, verse 6, Abraham isn't even bothered to help sort things out. This is a real picture of Genesis 3 in action. Sarah treats Hagar badly. So Hagar flees towards Egypt where she was from. What a mess. There is a lesson in patience here. And a lesson in obeying God's ways. That God's ways and God's timing are not always our ways and our timing. But God's ways and timing are better than ours. So a lesson to wait patiently for the Lord, rather than taking things into our own hands, especially when those plans go against what God says is best for us in his word. God is willing and able and will do all he promises for us. And we know that ultimately all God's promises to us are yes in Jesus. Trusting in Jesus and following what Jesus says is what God wants for each of us. Because that's the best thing for us. Our plans that take us away from that are never the right answer. Abraham and Sarah should have trusted God to keep his promise, but they didn't. So they made their own plan to have a baby with Hagar. That's scene one, in the tent. Next slide on the screens. Scene two, in the desert, at a spring of water, verses 7 to 9, Hagar's found by the angel of the Lord and told to go back to Sarah and submit to her. This will ensure Ishmael doesn't grow up without his dad. And amazingly, in spite of the muddle and the mess that everybody's made, verses 10 and 11, God makes another promise, this time to Hagar. We know Abraham's been promised lots of children, and Hagar and Ishmael will play their part in it. Even though God chooses the baby Sarah will one day have to build his chosen people from, Hagar and Ishmael play their part in Abraham's family too. Now, without looking at the footnote in the Bible, does anybody here know what the name Ishmael means? Anybody here know what the name Ishmael means? Anybody? Anybody was reading the passage, following the passage as we read it earlear? Just for a clear... Gene Jeffries, God hears. Look at that. Genius. God, absolutely. Thank you. God hears. It's a reminder of who God is. And we see in verse 11 that God sees... and here's Hagar's upset. If you want to get the blood flowing now, we can do that again. We see in verse 11 that God sees and hears Hagar's upset. In fact, God sees and hears and acts on Hagar's upset. Hagar knows this to be true. And verse 13, Hagar calls God the God who sees me. The God who sees me. God has seen Hagar and acted to bless her and restore her relationship with Sarah. Enemies made friends again. God sees and hears and acts. God really cares about our upset, our hard times, when people are nasty to us. Even when we've been part of the upset ourselves. Remember, Hagar teased and disrespected Sarah. We may think God doesn't know what we're going through. But God knows and is always there when we cry out to him. God promises us that when we turn to Jesus and cry out to God, he will always see and hear and be there for us. Nobody is beyond God's love and forgiveness in Jesus. As we turn to Jesus and trust in him, God acts to bless us and restore our relationship with himself, us and God, enemies made friends again. That is amazing. We can trust God to help us through life's problems, but we do what he says by living his way, not ours. We've got a final slide. And it's hard at home. We might be tempted to disobey our parents because we think we know better. Or we may be tempted to treat our children unfairly because we think we know better. At school or work, where someone is mean to us, we may be tempted to give the same back and be unloving. Or we may be tempted to ignore it because it's easier, but we're not caring about justice. It is hard to keep trusting God's promises and living for him, and we don't always get it right. Abraham is meant to be one of the Bible's great heroes of faith, and he still gets so much wrong. But no matter what, in spite of all our failings, God always offers us grace, what we don't deserve, and blessing for our good and his glory. Let's pray. Father God, we are sorry when we don't trust your word to us, which then causes us to disobey you, even if we think we're trying to do the right thing. Help us to listen to your word to us, to trust you and to do it. And Father God, when we get things wrong, we know that you promise always to forgive us when we ask for it. Please forgive us and give us a firmer trust in all your promises to us in Jesus, in whose name we pray now. Amen.